Good morning. It's great to see people here this morning on this rather grey day. We're going to shatter the gloom and the rain. We're going to praise God and thank Him for the sun that is always shining and the sun who sets us free and brings us into relationship with God. We're so thankful that today we can celebrate the great theme of friendship as we think about the way in which David, King David, started an incredible friendship with Jonathan. And Helen is going to be speaking about that at the end of towards the end of our service. We've looked at many different aspects of David's life, and next week was going to be the last in our series that Nigel is going to be preaching on the theme of David and worship. And then we begin Advent, the great countdown to Christmas. But today we're going to be starting our service with a prayer that reflects really what we were thinking about last week. The way in which David learned the power of repentance and how by being open with God and recognizing his own shortcomings and many failings, he was able to begin a new relationship with God and discover a friendship with God that was deeper than anything else, a friendship from which everything else flows. This prayer is part of the Church of England's liturgy and speaks of the way in which nothing is hidden from God. Everything is known to God about us. The wonderful things about us and the not so wonderful things about us. And the fact is that he still loves us and is wanting to receive from us and wanting us to receive from him. So let's stand together as we pray this prayer for purity, as it's known in the Anglican tradition. We meet in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, purify the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall show forth your praise. Let us worship the Lord, all praise to his holy name. We're going to praise God with that great Hebrew word, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we're singing about the incredible love that God has for us. So if you'd like to join, the children would like to bring their joining with some instruments that are down here. There are some flags to wave in praise of God. Please do that as Debbie plays the introduction to this song. Thank you. us with joy as we receive and thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that your love shows, the blessings of life, and all the riches that you give us. Thank you for the gifts that people give us to show love toward us. Thank you for our friends that show us such consideration and joy and make our lives worthwhile. And we pray that the gifts that we want to give to you, Lord, as a sign of our love for other people, may be taken and blessed by you to bring them the love that they need. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I have got this morning some work for you to do. Some things which will be very important to recognize about the nature of friendship, what friendship is about, and what is important in friendship. And I've got a bit of a quiz. My science teacher when I was at school never used to call exams, because that sounded horrible. He'd say, "Today, boys, we've got a quiz." And we thought, "Oh, great, I love quizzes." And it really was really an exam or a nasty test, but anyway. This isn't a nasty test, but it is an opportunity to try and think of words that are missing from the following phrases. So what I'd like is to put your hand up or stand up if you're only small, and I can see if you might know the answer. So here's the first one. There are big ships and small ships, but the best ship of all is... At the back, friendship. Fantastic. Let's see. Well done. That's the best ship of all. Okay, that was dead easy. Second, a good friend is a something from God. Put your hand up if you think you can guess what it might be. Yeah? Pardon? Gift. That's a very good word. It could be. Anybody else, any ideas? Yeah? Blessing. Excellent. Well, let's see what it might be. Yes, a good friend is a blessing from God. That's fantastic. Have you seen these notes, have you? Really good. A gift. It could have been a gift as well, because it is a gift from God. We're so thankful, aren't we, for any friendships that we have, gifts or blessings from God. All right, they get a bit more difficult. The best time to make friends is... Now, if you didn't hear that, Tristan said, just before your birthday. Well, I think that's excellent. Excellent answer. You should write these. Any other suggestions? Put your hand up if you want to say something. Shout it out. Best time to make friends is... No other offers? I don't know, you can't top that. Pardon? All through your life. That's a very good one. Right. Well, this is a tricky one. Could be those two. Let's see what the answer on the poster is. The best time to make friends is before you need them. So actually, it's quite the opposite from what you said, Tristan. But it's... I think yours is much better answer. Okay, before you need them. Now, that's a significant thing, isn't it? Before you need them. Otherwise, people get a bit, feel as if, oh, they're only being friendly with me because they're after something. So, okay. There are three more. Let's see what this one might be. The most memorable people in life will be the friends who loved you when... The most memorable people you remember most in life. Yeah. Say again. Close to you. Oh, Christians. Yeah, absolutely. That's very true. It's something about being there when you need them. Has anybody else got any ideas? Say again. When you fail. Yeah, that's Yes, when you're finding life difficult, that's right. Excellent. Those are all really important answers. Let's see what... Yes. Friends loved you when you weren't very lovable. Sometimes you feel, I'm not very lovable. But do you know, a great Christian from centuries ago said, I am lovable because God has loved me. So I hope nobody leaves this place without knowing that you are a lovable person. Nearly there. True friendship isn't about being there when it's convenient. It's about, and it's very similar, you can guess this answer, I should think, yeah? Yes, that could be one. Any other, the stress is when it's convenient. It's about being there when it's not convenient. Yes, let's see. Absolutely. That's true, isn't it? Think about that one. Being there when it's not convenient. Putting yourself out. And the last one. This isn't about friendship. It's more about how we develop friendships. Therefore, something one another and build each other up. Perhaps we can all say this together. Yes, yeah, Sophie? Or nearly. Encourage, that's right. Encourage one another. Put courage into each other and really say those things which are going to help people to feel, yes, I'm alive and God is on my side and we can do this together. How we need encouragement. And that's one of the great things that friends can do, is encourage you to be the best you can be, the person that God has made you to be. So let's just pause for a moment and pray as we thank God for the things we learn from others about friendship. Lord, thank you that you have shown us what real friendship is about. Thank you in your life and your relationships, you showed us how friends can be together. Help us, Lord, to learn to grow in our friendships, to give and to receive, and to be people who encourage one another and build each other up as you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Lord, I pray that as the children and young people go to their groups, you would bless them and give them a great sense of friendship with one another. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So the children are going to go to their groups. After we've shared the peace, shall we just stand together? May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's stand up and turn to each other, share a sign of God's peace. We're going to go into a time of prayer shortly, and so much prayer is needed at this time. It's an incredible amount of things going on, and one of the things that lifts our spirits and gives us faith and hope is the things that are going on and build up to Christmas. And one of the things that we are working towards in this church is a special carol service. It's going to be at 5 o'clock and at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And a significant part of that will be members of this church singing 3, maybe 4 items that will allow us to give God the glory during that time. Now, this is a really significant thing for us to be able to share with the wider community. This church, as you know, if you've been before, will hopefully be packed on both those occasions. And it would be wonderful if you were able to join a small choir that is taking part in that service on Christmas Eve. So if you'd like to do that, or even if you feel you would be good to do that, then please do get in touch with Debbie. Or, and do you want to say anything about this time?
Well, first of all, it's a choir and not a chior.
Oh, yes.
That's the first thing.
Very good.
But, I mean, just anybody's, if you can sing, you're very welcome. And it's always a bit of a highlight of the year, and everybody really has a good time. You don't have to have any experience particularly. You've just got to be willing and just want to just join with others in singing the praises of God, and especially leading up to Christmas. So very welcome, anybody that wants to come.
Thank you. In my previous church, we used to have people that couldn't sing as well, so it's absolutely fine. But we used to drown them out. It was all right. Lovely. Lord, we do pray for the preparations for Christmas. And during this Advent, we do pray that you would help us all to contribute in whatever way is appropriate for us. Thank you for Debbie and for Jane who are leading this choir. And we pray that it may be an opportunity as people gather for practices starting this Sunday evening, that fellowship and friendships that are developed in those times may be really special, and that you would bless that preparation and give us the opportunity to invite others to experience the story of the coming of your Son into the world, Father, as Saviour and Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to continue to pray for the world and for the church, to thank God for his goodness as Joe leads us in our intercessions.
Good morning, everyone. It's just good to be at this end of the church and see you all. And we're talking about friendship, and I thank you for many of the friendships that I've got here. It's just great. And I'm pleased. I've got one friend who's been with me since 1975, Linda down there at the back. And we've just done so much together. As young teachers together, in church together, serving God together, doing outreach together, and then she goes off to the Far East to be a missionary, and here she is with her husband today, and I'm just really glad. So I just wanted to say that friendship is great, and I really hope that you have good friends. So let's just pray together, as friends together, before we think about other issues as well. Strangely enough, another friend sent me an email, one of these little post-it things that comes on Facebook yesterday morning, which said, pray continually, pray without ceasing. And I thought, what a good thing that is, to be able to pray for each other and just support each other. There's nothing better. So let's just do that. So, Lord, we just give ourselves to you for these few minutes in prayer. And we first would pray for ourselves, Lord, that you would just use us as channels. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Anoint us for your service, we pray, as we look forward into the activities and the situations that we're involved with day by day. Let us really learn what it means to fellowship in prayer together and support each other in the work that you called us to do. And I thought, well, why not pray for the person sitting next to you, in the chair next to you? You may not know them, that doesn't matter. If you do, that's great. You can pray for something particular for them. And if you've got people either side, you'll have to be double quick. But let's just pause a minute and just pray for the person sitting next to us or the sitting behind us. It doesn't really matter. Just for a moment. Lord, we thank you for each other. Some of you have got an empty chair next to you. Well, that doesn't matter, because you could pray for who you really want to fill it. Who would you really want to fill that chair next to you? A member of your family? Somebody you know at work? Somebody who's vulnerable? just give their name to God. And there are some empty chairs in church at the moment that were filled by people we knew and loved. There's one somewhere over there because our dear friend Pat Lynch passed away a couple of weeks ago. You may or may not know that. But we thank God for Pat and for her husband, her late husband, George, and their faith and encouragement that they were to us. And we pray for their family. Bless their family, Lord, as they miss them. And sadly, only this very last night, we lost another friend, although she's not been with us for a while because of her health. And I'm sorry to announce in one sense that Kathleen Hall, passed away in the early hours of this morning, aged 101. So she's now in the arms of Jesus, whom she loved for all those years, and was a great friend and encouragement to many of us when she was able to be with us. But she did her party, her 101st birthday party, in July. So she made it, and she's now with the Lord. So we pray for Kathleen's family now in this very raw news just this morning. And we ask that you will comfort them and encourage them. And if their faith is little, Lord, bring them on in their faith to know you, the Lord that Kathleen knew. And we pray that you will be with them in these days to come. Let's pray for our neighbours in our street, next door neighbours or along the road, it doesn't matter. Somebody you know who perhaps is in need and needs the help and love of Jesus. We pray for our town and communities within Great Malvern. We pray for the churches working together to share the gospel and the love of Jesus. And especially during this time when we're approaching Christmas and everything gets busy and out of proportion and commercialized. And we really ask, Lord, that we can keep Jesus as the reason for the season and share that rather than the empty glitter that so often takes his place. And Lord, at the end of another busy week at church, we really thank you for the event of the Real Deal Live that Rod Williams came to bring us on Wednesday evening. And we really bless you for the numbers of people who were there and people from friends from Christians Against Poverty, and renewed acquaintances. And we do really thank you for that opportunity to share with people. And we do pray for Cap, and we pray for Denise and Kat as they head it up with their befrienders and helpers. And we pray for those, Lord, who are in the program and are becoming free from the worry and the curse of debt. But we pray for that work that you would prosper it, Father God, and give wisdom to those who are running it. Ahead of us, we've got another week of activities, all sorts of things with children's and youth work, life groups, most nights of the week, teaching and leading. We've got the bereavement cafe. Lord, we ask your blessing on these activities, but once again we pray we will keep you at the centre of these things as we reach out to our community with your love. And we especially pray for Dave, our vicar, today. We pray that you would just encourage him and strengthen him and heal him. And may he know, Lord, that he's dearly loved, and his family, Alice, Eleanor and Josh too. We just give them to you. And as our thoughts extend beyond our own area, even our own country, we just think of the world stage and all that seems to be so very wrong with it. And you don't need me to outline some of those things. I'm just going to give us a time of silence where you can just pray your prayers for the Middle East and the catastrophic events that are happening there that I can hardly believe and hardly live my life day to day without thinking about the rawness there. And Lord, we pray also for our friends in Ukraine. I'll just mention some of these. Other countries where there are communities that are split and displaced, Syria, Sudan, Myanmar. Just spend a moment of your time here praying for those troubled areas of the world. And Lord, in those troubled areas, we know your people are working. We have news of them. Sometimes there are on a news clip on the TV, Christian hospitals, churches reaching out, organizations providing relief and comfort. Lord, we commit them to you. We pray for our own mission partners as they continue your work. May you strengthen them. May you encourage them. May you provide for them both materially and spiritually. May your love rest upon them as they serve you. And through them and us, may your kingdom come, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's pray that God's kingdom will come as we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Chair, very much indeed. The Bible encourages us to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. In James chapter 5. And confession of our own sins in the company of other people and even to each other, to be able to ask forgiveness and to receive forgiveness from each other, is incredibly powerful way of receiving healing in friendships. We want to pray that God would forgive us for many different things in our lives, but I highlighted a few things that I'm going to ask to be put on the screen in a moment, that you can identify perhaps one of the things that appear on the screen and come before God and say, Lord, that's me. I've been insensitive to others. I've got a fear that prevents me from loving. I've got a narrow vision when I think of the things that you call me to. I'm going to just leave a pause after each of the three things. There'll be three lots of three. And ask you to use that time to pray for God's forgiveness and a restoration of our lives toward others. So I'll say the words in yellow. If you begin as we together ask for God's forgiveness, saying together, O God, forgive us. our insensitivity to the needs of others, our prejudice and fear that prevent us from loving, and the narrowness of our vision and the shrinking from your demands. Our resentment against those who have hurt us, our desire to do your work in our way, and our impatience with those who are different from us. Let's just hold those three things on the screen a moment. And if there's one thing, let's bring it to the Lord. And finally, we remember our failure to listen properly to others' points of view and our fear of coming out of the fortress of our own souls into the fuller and deeper love is God's intention for us. Failure to listen. And coming out of the fortress of fear. And so we pray together. O God, forgive us and transform us from within. May God in his mercy forgive us, draw close to us, embrace us once again in his loving arms, and enable us to follow him in worship and grateful service each day of our lives. Amen. So Lord, we want to worship you now with gratitude in our hearts that you have spoken words over us that we can hardly believe are true, because they're too big for us to take in. Because they're so far from what we think about ourselves. Because they stretch our imagination that anyone, let alone you, Lord, could consider us worthy of your love and friendship. But we pray, Lord, that you would move us from the prison of our own fears and our own self-judgment, and release us into a deeper trust in what you have done through Christ and how you have poured your Spirit out upon us to assure us of your love, so we may experience your love and your grace, and that we might know ourselves to be loved and therefore made lovable. Lord Jesus, help us to hear what you say
and not what we think of ourselves. I choose to believe because you are believable, because every word you say is true, because everything that you declare comes to pass. Lord, let my faith rise up and let me hear you say again, how great is my love toward you. My love to you will never change. My love for you is eternal and will hold you through death and into eternity. All glory to you, Lord. All glory to you.
How great is your love?
keep a moment of silence. We stand at the foot of the cross. Apostle Paul said that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. So Lord, we pray that as we come to be open to all that you have to say for us through your Word, both read and preached, we pray that our hearts may be softened to receive that which you have as gift for each of us and all of us this morning. And that we may indeed be transformed from within. For your glory. Amen. Please do be seated. Sian comes to bring a reading. There are two readings actually this morning on the relationship that David had with Jonathan, which really demonstrates his friendship in an incredible way. One from the beginning of their relationship and then one that expresses David's love for Jonathan after his death.
So the first reading is 1 Samuel, chapter 18, verses 1 to 4, and you can find that on page 290 of the Bibles in the chairs. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. And the second reading is 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 23 to 27, and that's on 305, page 305. Saul and Jonathan in life, they were loved and admired, and in death, they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and finery, who adorned your garments with ornaments of gold. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We've, as Joseph's been explaining, we're in this series in David, and we've had a look at David's heart, his faith, his loyalty, his remorse, and today's topic is his friendship. And I'm going to say at the start that this is actually just a huge topic about friendship, and I'm not going to be able to cover a great deal at all in the time that we've got this morning. And so I just want to, at the start, just to say, well, you know, we all have baggage with all of this. We all have stuff that we're still coping with friendship, because it's such a huge personal issue. And We've got friends that we've lost recently, or we've got, which Joe helpfully mentioned in the prayers that we prayed about, and we've got children or grandchildren in schools and as students and as 20-somethings who struggle with all of this friendship stuff. So just at the start, of as we look at some friendships in the Bible, let's just spend a moment just laying all of our stuff down before God and asking him to renew us and refresh us. Lord God, we thank you that you love us as we are, and that you know how much has gone on in our lives, how complicated things are, how complicated relationships are. And we ask that this morning for each one of us in this building, that you will give us a fresh word from you by your Spirit as to how you want to speak into our lives today in terms of friendship, whatever that means for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We are, the more reading I did on this, I found that we're in the midst of a modern epidemic. No, not the global pandemic of COVID-19. There's now another one. And it's been growing over the last few decades. But since, and it's been declared as a headline on BBC World News, I found from earlier this year, that it is as dangerous as smoking. The US Surgeon General has decided a new public health epidemic has hit America, the health impact of which, he says, is equivalent to smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Mother Teresa called this epidemic the leprosy of the West. And it's been shown that it's led to increased risk of heart disease, depression, and cognitive decline. The name of this epidemic is loneliness, and it has dire effects on our health. So it's no wonder that in his book, Live No Lies, John Mark Comer writes, "The devil's goal is to first isolate us." The National Office for Statistics tells us that it is worst amongst young adults, the 18 to 24-year-old age group. And we all know that the social isolation that the pandemic brought has increased mental health problems across schools and colleges and has given us a whole generation of students with long-term issues that are going to take a lot of healing. So today's topic couldn't be more pertinent. It's one that will help with the healing of this pandemic of loneliness. Friendship. It was God's idea. And this Rublev icon really portrays that idea well. Because before God made any human beings, here we see the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in perfect relationship, in harmony, as friends, together, forever, and yet distinct. And made in God's image, we too are made for relationship, for close, caring relationships that enhance life and enable us to flourish. So at the start of creation, it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." We're made in his image. And at first, there was just the man on his own. But God knew that companionship was needed, not just with God himself, but with other human beings as well. I wonder if you remember a couple of weeks ago when Fiona was declared Britain's loneliest sheep and became a centre of huge media attention. And the public became really invested in what would happen to Fiona. Would she find company by being rescued in a hoist at the side of a mountain where she was marooned at the bottom? Or would life be better eking out her situation in glorious isolation at the bottom of the cliff? Nobody, it seemed, liked the idea of Fiona living life completely alone. Even, it didn't seem good even for a sheep. And the story seemed to me to speak of something inside all of us, a common human need for companionship. We all wanted it for ourselves, and so much so, even for Fiona. So it's hardly surprising that from the very beginning of the human race, God ensured that people had friends. Genesis 2:18 says that the Lord said it's not good for the man to be alone, so he made him someone with whom he could bond. And when the woman appears, Adam says, "Now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Here was the kindred spirit that Adam needed. So it's good to have friends. And in fact, when he completed his creation with the human pair, God called it all very good. Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. It was so good, in fact, that on the seventh day, God took a little rest. Now, there are 170 references to friendship or friend in the Bible. It is that important. And there are lots of examples of friendships throughout the Bible. Some of them are within families, such as Ruth and Naomi. Some of them are intergenerational, Elijah and Elisha, Paul and Timothy. Some are friendships formed through working together, Paul and Barnabas, Peter and John, Priscilla and Aquila, who were also a married couple. But one of the most in-depth and longest portrayals of a human friendship is the relationship between David and Jonathan. And our readings gave us the beginning and the end of the friendship, like two bookends. So looking first of all in 1 Samuel 18, we find that at the start there was a meeting of minds. Chapter 18, verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan, Saul's son, became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. In the context of David's story, this is soon after David has killed Goliath. It comes before the start of Saul's persecution of David, before the wilderness years when David was left on the run. Went on the run at the time 2 weeks ago that I called the roundabout route. This friendship is completely unexpected. Unexpected because in the normal course of events, Jonathan would have been the heir to Saul's throne as the firstborn son. So if anyone was going to be aggrieved that David had been anointed to be king, it should have been Jonathan rather than Saul. After all, Saul is already king. It's Jonathan who has recognized that David will reign after Saul rather than he himself. And that's why, as a sign of commitment to his friend, in chapter 18, verse 4, it says, Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. He takes off the trappings that symbolize monarchy, the robe, the sword, the bow and the belt. And he offers them to David. He wants David to be the best that he can be. He wants David and himself to follow God's leading and to be at the center of God's calling. And they hit it off from the start. It says in verse 3, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Now, we have to be careful here with the cultural context. This is the ancient world, not ours. And at that time, friendship between two men was highly regarded. There is no hint of homosexuality here. In his book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis explains that to the ancients, friendship seemed the happiest and the most fully human of all loves. Such relationships were highly regarded, especially between two men. So here at the beginning of chapter 18, the two of them make a covenant. That's a firm, loving commitment to one another. It's based on the Hebrew word hesed, meaning loving kindness. And of course, this gets tested. But when we see the two of them together in chapter 20, and we haven't actually got time this morning to read chapter 20, unfortunately, but that's, it's a whole chapter all about this friendship in the Old Testament. And you can see how together they're acting out of covenant faithfulness. And that three times in chapter 20, in verses 8, 14 and 15, we see nothing but loving kindness in their commitment to one another. So even as Saul starts to turn up on the pressure on David, in his hour of need, as he seeks to escape, God provides Jonathan, a faithful friend, to walk with him in it. At that point, Jonathan is very much David's supporter, but the relationship works both ways. A deep relationship has to do that. And at the end of the first book of Samuel, which we haven't quite got there yet in our reading, but both Saul and Jonathan die in battle. And the second reading we heard this morning was from the first chapter of 2 Samuel. And it gives us an insight into the depth of David's grief at the death of his friend. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished. It's not a bad funeral eulogy, really, is it? Now, there are different types of friendships. When I read this in a book, I found it really helpful, rather than thinking, well, what does friendship mean? And the writer suggested friendship exists on many different levels. There are past friends. Joe, who led us in prayer earlier, spoke of someone that she knew when she was much younger. And yet when they meet up again, it's as if time has never passed and they still meet up. People have school friends, college friends, don't they, that they might meet up with just once a year. But it's good friendship. There are distant friends. I wonder if anybody started their Christmas cards yet. People that we keep in touch with occasionally. Intermittent friends, maybe for an occasional coffee, you might keep in touch with them more regularly. Social media friends, for example, on Facebook or Instagram. And then close friends with whom you can share more deeply and honestly. And intimate friends with a debt to love one another as David and Jonathan did. The covenant faithfulness that they had for one another, close and intimate. And it can be found in both marriage and in people of the same sex. Someone with whom you've done military service with, for example, can form a very close, intimate bond. All of these different range of friendships help us to combat the epidemic of loneliness and variety. It's really helpful. We need all of these. It's not a case of I'll take one and not the others. They're all helpful. As it's interesting that Jesus had lots of friends, both men and women. There was Lazarus and his sisters, for example, in John chapter 11. Mark tells us in his gospel that Jesus' aim with his friends was that they might be with him. Just to be with him. Let's hang out. Mark 3 verse 14. No pressure. And the more we can be authentic and relax into being ourselves, the better. Well, I'm not much good at jokes, so I tend to pinch other people's. And I found this one in relation to Facebook, or what the writer was calling fake book. So a man who is desperate for work applies to a zoo that he's heard has some openings. "Well, it's a little unusual, but I do have something," said the zoo director. "Our gorilla died some time ago and we haven't had the money to replace him. If you're willing to wear a monkey suit and impersonate an ape, you've got the job." It didn't feel terribly authentic, but the man figured a job's a job, so he signed on. After a few awkward days, he began to get into the spirit of the thing, and soon he became one of the zoo's prime attractions. One morning, he was swinging from one vine to the next with a little too much animation, and inadvertently swung himself right over the wall into the cage next to his, which was occupied by an enormous lion. The man could feel the lion's hot breath on his face. He knew he was a goner. Reflexively, he began screaming for help when suddenly the lion whispered urgently to him, "Be quiet, you idiot, or we'll both be out of a job." Other people's jokes are so much better than mine. But you see, without honesty, there's no depth. We need authenticity. Once they knew who they really were, those two, there was a bond. It's interesting that Jesus, the perfect Son of God, didn't have the same level of friendship with everyone. There was the one, John, who he was closer to than anybody else. There were the three, Peter, James and John. And you can find out about how they went up together as a small group in Matthew 17. Jesus drew them apart, the three of them, for a special occasion, a special event. There was the 12 and the 72. And always, always, Jesus had the friendship of his Heavenly Father, to whom he was closer than anyone. There are some people who don't invest in relationships because they're not planning on settling in an area. And yet Jesus only had 3 years with the friends mentioned in the Gospels. And he was pretty proactive in forming friendships. Now, sometimes a relationship just blossoms, doesn't it? It just happens like it did for David and Jonathan, but not always. It's okay to be targeted. Jesus was purposeful. He went and chose some people in particular. He was prayerful. He spent all night in prayer before he did it. And he was imaginative. Whoops. He was imaginative. You get the list of them in Mark chapter 3. And there's a complete range of personality and social class amongst the 12. And then in his broader circle, he's well known for befriending all types of people, whatever their background, whatever their situation. And because we all need friendship, don't be afraid to invite someone out for coffee or go for a drink. See what blossoms. And ask God to show you who in this particular season in which you're in, the here and now, you're called to spend time with. Who are you called to spend time with now? Let's look at some of the things that can help relationships to flourish. Communication I put first, because we need that to get started. We need to step out and communicate, really communicate. No hiding behind mobile phones and apps. And to deepen friendship, we have to keep the communication going, both listening and talking. Maybe via our app. But presence really counts. Making time, talking and listening, including shared activities, getting to know someone takes time. And it means being there in the moment. So we need to pay attention to the other. Not only do we need to pay attention to someone else, we need to be sharing both ourselves and them back. There's no controlling in real friendship. It's an equal basis. And for this, we're going to need patience, generosity, kindness, appreciation, and empathy. This can be hard work. We need trust, because without this, all relationships fall apart. And trust involves authenticity, forgiveness, and vulnerability. Really important, vulnerability. Sharing yourself in a way that you can, because you know the other person can be trusted, and you can be trusted too, with a confidence, perhaps. And accountability, including encouraging one another, as that helps to keep relationships vibrant and allows us to grow. It's no good if one person is just colluding with everything that the other person says and agreeing with them without even challenging anything. More than anything else, for a relationship of depth or meaning, there can be no hiding. Remember the person in that ape's costume at the zoo? He was in reality a lot more than that, what the costume led you to believe he was. And we can have a cloak that we hide behind, some sort of costume, some sort of, you know, we look capable, or we look beautiful, or we look like we go to the gym every other day. You know, friendship demands more than that superficial appearance. And I've left until the end commitment, or to use the Bible's word for it, faithfulness. In the book, The House at Pooh Corner, A.A. Milne describes the longing that we have for commitment and faithfulness by using the relationships between the animal characters in his book. On this occasion, they're out for a walk. Piglet sidled up to Pooh from behind. "Pooh," he whispered. "Yes, Piglet." "Nothing," said Piglet, taking Pooh's paw. "I just wanted to be sure of you." There's risk here, but we long for friends we can trust who will stay the course and be faithful. Faithfulness crops up over 200 times in the Bible, more than 150 references in the Old Testament and 50 in the New. Much of the material is about the faithfulness of God. And when we too are faithful in our relationships, it really shines out to the glory of God. The approach of the faithful person asks not, what can I get out of this relationship? How can my needs best be met? But how can I help the other person to be the best that they can be? How can I help them to flourish? Some sacrifices will be needed to make this happen. We saw both of these things with David and Jonathan, but it's beautiful when it works. In their relationship, covenant, faithful, loving kindness is spoken of a number of times. And in 1 Samuel 20, verse 17, they even have what I call a Pooh and Piglet moment, when it says, "Jonathan made David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself." He needed that sort of reassurance. Very interesting. And then finally, the two of them part. In chapter 20 at the end, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together. But David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" Then David left for the wilderness, and Jonathan went back to the town. They gave one another the blessing of peace, committing one another to the Lord. They both released the other person into God's plan for their flourishing. And it reminds us of Jesus' words when he was about to be parted from his friends. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus' last words to his disciples in Matthew's gospel were these, I am with you always. God has offered us his friendship. He came to look for us in the person of Jesus, to restore the broken relationship that came between him and us ever since Adam and Eve took a wrong turn. And today, as his followers, we have the promise Jesus gave to his first disciples in John 15:15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And this takes us back to where we started. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, welcoming in friends to eat and drink with them, so that we don't have to be lonely anymore. God has always been looking for people with whom he can form a friendship. Abraham was called God's friend, James 2:23, and the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend, we are told, in Exodus 33:11. God has always been looking for us. He is so faithful that he continues the search even today. He began in the garden looking for Adam and Eve. He didn't want people to be lonely. He gave them friends. He gave them each other. But he also wanted to be their friend too. And in the cool of the day, on the day when they'd eaten the forbidden fruit and they got it wrong, God still came looking for Adam and Eve. Where are you? He called. But they hid from him. They were loved. They were chosen to be a friend of God, yet they hid. So many of us choose to hide, just like Adam and Eve did. On Friday afternoon, 2 days ago, I was really angry in the afternoon. There'd been an incident for someone from this church, and I was really angry at the way they'd been treated. Not, I hasten to add, by somebody else from church. I couldn't remember the time I'd been so incensed about a personal matter. I wanted to sort it out, as you do, solve the problem. But it turned out it wasn't practically possible. So I went into the garden, thinking that a good dig in the earth might help to dissipate my feelings. I was just putting my pansy in the pot when an old hymn came into my head. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. I was so glad that God met me in that garden, kneeling by that pot, while I was hiding in my grief and anger. In our service of Holy Communion, we say to God, you came to meet us in your Son. Through Jesus, God offers us the most amazing friendship. He offers us communication, if we're prepared to engage in communication, in conversation, in prayer following, and also reading his word. He offers us his presence. If we'll come out of hiding and allow him to draw near, and he shares all that he is with all that we are. He trusts us while he is completely trustworthy. He offers us accountability because he wants us to grow more and more like Jesus. And his commitment is in spades, the faithfulness that is so much a part of his nature that he cannot do anything but be faithful to us even when we're faithless. But you and me, Where are you? Says God. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Let's not hide. God is looking for me and you.
So we come to the Lord who is wanting to meet us where we are. And I want to encourage anyone who feels they'd like us to receive a moment of prayer. There'll be people at the front if you'd like to receive. It's a blessing of God's hand upon you. And to pray for that peace that friendship with God brings. Please do come forward. We're going to bring the service to a close now. And I know that many people need to collect their children who are in their different groups. So would you like to stand as we close your prayer? May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity of love, bless you and keep you always in that love, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.